Talking about missions, the beginning of Mission Month. You know, last Sunday was Easter, and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, and we celebrated his passion, his going to the cross for us to save us from our sin. And it's an incredible story, isn't it? You know, it's so incredible that many people still don't believe it today. You know, a lot of people just say, you know, that's just too much. I just can't believe that God, first of all, would send himself down to the earth, that he would die for us, and then he'd bring him back up to heaven. Yeah, just doesn't make sense. But that's exactly what we're told. That's exactly what the Great Commission is all about. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." This is also known as the Great Commission. You can also find it in Matthew 28:19, which is probably more familiar to many of you, that go and make disciples of all nations. But I chose this one specifically because Jesus said, go into all the world. And that's what we're talking about this month, is missions. And as followers of Jesus, we are also called to be his witnesses and to go tell others about Jesus and what he's done. You know what that means? It means we're all missionaries. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be his witnesses. We're called to go. We're told to go and share the good news, which means we're missionaries. And in the New Testament reading this morning, in the epistle, I like the way Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, where he says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us." Do you like that term, ambassador? What does it mean? Well, it means that we're God's representative. We're his representative to the world. And he gives us power and authority to share. He gives us power and authority to minister, to heal, to pray, to do all these things. We have his power with us, and that's just a great thing for us to have. But the real question for us this morning is, mission where? Where are we supposed to go? I mean, you know, the video talked about going to Africa, and for some of us, that's just not going to be in the cards. It's not what we want to do. But there's mission fields all around us. So as this video showed, sometimes we're afraid to go where God wants to send us. And so the question is, where is God sending us? Well, do you remember Jonah? In the Old Testament, Jonah, God said, go and preach to the city of Nineveh because they've become very wicked. Go preach against it. Jonah said, I'll go, yeah. Nope. he took off. He ran away. He tried to hide. And isn't that sometimes how we react? God says, whispers in our ear, hey, go talk to that neighbor. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. Too afraid. I might be rejected. I won't know what to say. I'll fumble over everything. But he still calls us. You know, so I have one question for you. For Jonah, Nineveh was the place he did not want to go. Where is your Nineveh? We all have one. You know, maybe it's Africa. Maybe it's Guatemala. Maybe it's your child's school. Hey, maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's the neighbor down the street. Or maybe it's somebody in the gym where you go every week. You know, maybe it's in your own family. Maybe it's your children or your parents or somebody. But we all have a mission field. We all have a Nineveh, someplace where we really don't want to go. You want to know where my Nineveh is? As you know, I represent Faith Life Ministries, and I travel all over the world, been to a lot of different places, different parts of the world, but I have a Nineveh. And that Nineveh is the country of Iran. Because Iran does not like Americans. They don't like Christians. They imprison them. And it's like, it's probably the last place. Sort of like North Korea. It would probably be another place. Unfortunately, God has not called me there yet. But he just might. And then I got to face the question that all of us face. You know, will we go where he wants to send us? So, anybody here interested in going to Africa? Who wants to go? Anybody? There's a few of you. Yeah, it's not always the first place. But did you know? Some of you are fairly new here. CTS sent a mission team to Africa 11 years ago. And Pastor Kevin and I led a mission team to Kenya, where we ministered among the people. And you'll see some familiar faces in there. Some of the people have moved on. But can anybody tell me who this is? She's hiding. That's our own Kim Hart. I don't know if that was the African sun or the rains or something that she was protecting, but that's Kim Hart. And, of course, we have Pastor Kevin and Paul Schutz and Gary Church, Scott Martin, I think is over there. And some of them are former members that went on this trip back in 2007. Even, you might remember Pastor Russ, our associate pastor, who was a vicar back then. But, you know, what do we do? Well, here's Pastor Kevin handing out food. We fed the people. We went to a slum area and we just handed out food. We also taught. And here's a picture of Paul Schutz teaching. We did a little business seminar where we tried to help some of the people of this local church who wanted to try and start businesses. So we just did a little afternoon and shared some of our experience, did a little seminar. Paul was one of the teachers who did that. We also served. Here we are in this village called Mwanza, and we're picking up garbage in the street. Unfortunately, that day it rained. So we were out in the mud just picking up garbage. And, you know, and what it was an opportunity to serve this village. And this village was in the town where our host had a church. So we were kind of connecting people up to his church. And all we're doing is picking up garbage. But people would come up and say, "Now, what are you doing here? Why are you doing this?" It gave us an opportunity to share about our faith and about our Lord and about why we were there. We also witnessed. Here's a photo of Gary Church. We did a crusade several of the evenings, and Gary Church is up sharing his testimony at one of those events. And then we also did ministry. We were ministering at a school here, and we sang songs for these children. And that, what you see in the photo, is only about 10% of the children that were there. It was a huge crowd, and I just couldn't get them all in the picture. And we did some drama and puppets and other things, so we just served. And what is interesting about all these pictures, these are all things that all of us can do. There's nothing in there that we can't do. Now, some of us may not have the gift of teaching, but we can serve, we can witness, we can share, we can minister, and that's really what it's all about. So today, we are kicking off a month of missions. Today, I'm going to talk about how we go from Easter, from the gospel message to mission, because that's really what our charge is. Now that Jesus has died and risen, we saw in the gospel for today, we're to go out now and share that message. So how do we do that, and what's that all about? And I'm also going to share a little bit this morning about how I got into mission work to show you how God placed the call on my life. But we'll also, in the next several weeks, as Shelley said, we'll have other of our CTS mission partners here, and we'll continue that theme throughout the month. So I think it's going to be a great month. So what is missions all about? You know, I used to think missionaries were people that, you know, gave up everything and moved overseas somewhere to go live in a jungle, like they portrayed in the video. That's kind of how we used to think, that especially in the old days, these people would get on a boat and they travel for days to go somewhere without any thought of ever coming back. Can you imagine that? That's kind of scary, isn't it? Anybody here lived overseas, moved overseas? Yeah, a few of you. I remember moving overseas, but my move was 1 year. I knew I was coming back. But how many of you would be willing to go someplace without ever thinking that, hey, you may come back someday? And that's what missionaries were like back in the old days. Now, some of you may be familiar with some missionaries. How many of you know a missionary serving overseas? And yeah, a few of you. Okay. Well, here's some famous ones that you may have heard of. Anybody here hear of Adoniram Judson? Who knows this guy? Interesting. He was from U.S., and he served in Burma, which is now Myanmar, for over 40 years. And a couple years ago, I've been to Myanmar a couple times. The Christians there revere him greatly because he's the one that brought Christianity to their nation. Everybody there knows him. And that's really the first time I had really heard of him, even though in our former church in Illinois, right down the road of us was Judson College, which is named after this missionary. David Livingstone. You guys know him? Yeah, one of the more famous ones, and that's what they referenced in the video. But did you know he was from Scotland? And did you know he served in Africa for 20 years, but he originally went to Africa to teach the Africans how to grow their economy and to work with businesses and to help them become prosperous. He saw that as the way to build up Africa, that they had a lot of resources. But he was also a Christian, so he used his time and his opportunity there to also share the love of Christ when he was there. How about this one? Do you guys know Hudson Taylor? He was from England. He served in China for over 50 years. Now, notice that he served in the latter half of the 1800s. So this was quite a long time ago. It was before the Chinese Revolution. But he is responsible for bringing Christianity to China today. And in 1948, after Mao Zedong took over, turned it into a communist nation, they kicked out all the missionaries. But today, China is the third largest mission field in the world. They have more Christians, Christian nation in the world. They're the third most number of Christians. They have a huge underground church. And so even though he kicked the missionaries out, God's word did not die. His mission did not stop with that. As a matter of fact, kicking the missionaries out helped, and the church grew even faster. Okay, I know you have to know this last one. Mother Teresa. She's more or less a contemporary for most of us. But did you know she was from Albania? I didn't know that till I went to Albania. And there's a statue of her in the middle of the town. I go, how come Mother Teresa's here? Well, she was from Albania. And she served in Calcutta for about 47 years. And she was probably the one that we're most familiar with in our contemporary society. But, you know, there are lots of other missionaries serving around the world today. I know quite a few of them. And, of course, this church has supported missionaries actually working overseas in the past. So when I think about this, most of these people spent years abroad, didn't think about coming back, and you know, it's like, for me, that just didn't, I have a family, I have, you know, other things I'm interested in here, and to give everything up to go move to another country, I wasn't so sure about that. So, and I had never really heard of what we commonly call today short-term missions. First time I ever heard about a short-term mission was in 1993. We were at a church in Milwaukee, and the daughter of our pastor was going with a team to China, and they were smuggling Bibles into China. And I go, "Oh, that sounds dangerous." If any of you have ever gone through immigration in another country, it's kind of a scary thing, you know. My biggest concern usually when I go somewhere is, are they going to let me out? Not like America, where they let everybody in, but no, they want to kick you out in some countries. So, I first heard about short-term missions, and I wasn't moved to go right away, but it stuck it in the back of my mind. And so today, short-term missions are much more common. We have a team that goes to Guatemala for a week every year. Our youth sometimes does mission trips. There are other opportunities to go on mission. So let's talk about now, well, what really is a mission trip? How would we define it? Well, this is the way I define it. A mission trip is anywhere you go and tell others about Jesus or serve others in his name. Very simple. It's just go. It can be in Africa. It can be right outside these doors here at CTS. It could be in Alpharetta. It could be in downtown Atlanta. So it's anywhere you go where you tell others about Jesus. What it isn't, it's not a mission trip if you don't mention Jesus. You know, a lot of people go overseas sometimes and they build wells or they provide resources to people, which is fine. It's great work to do. But it's not a mission trip if you don't mention Jesus. To be on his mission means to go and tell others about Jesus. So it's important that we remember that. Our mission is kind of bigger than just that sometimes. Sometimes we go to teach, and the Guatemala team does different things. So this is what a short-term mission trip is all about and what a mission trip is. Now, there's several common types of missions that we know about. There's medical, construction, evangelism, and teaching. And the Guatemala team does construction, you know, they build homes, but they also teach. They do VBS, they do evangelism, they share the gospel where they go. You saw in our Kenya team did a lot of the same kind of things. And some trips are designed just for medical, some are designed just for teaching, such as what I do typically. But these are all different types of, common types of mission trips. So some of you might like to know, well, how did I get started into missions? And I had a business career for 25 years. I worked for several companies in direct marketing for about 20, 25 years. So how did I get into mission trips? Well, about 22 years ago, I came home from work one day, and my wife handed me the church newsletter. And in it, the pastor had issued an invitation to the church members. It said, "I'm going to Kazakhstan. Who wants to go with me?" And as soon as I read it, I just knew I was supposed to go. Don't know why. I didn't have any role. I just was part of a team of 30 Americans that were going over. My pastor was teaching, but I didn't really have a role until the leader of the team found out, "Hey, I played the guitar. Why don't you bring your guitar and you can lead worship for the American team?" And I thought, great. That's what I wanted to do. So I went on this trip, and believe me, when I first said I'd go, I was really excited. And as the day drew closer, she started, "What have I gotten myself into?" But because it's the fear of the unknown, you don't really know what you're walking into. But we had a great trip, and here's a picture, and if you can see, I'm in the back here, sticking out with my guitar, and I got to play worship, be part of the worship team with the group of people from Kazakhstan. Now, I'll tell you, everything was in Russian, but you have to realize the guitar is not English or Russian. It's only one set of chords. So I could play with them, and mostly what they sang were American songs translated into Russian. "Shine, Jesus, shine," "Shout to the Lord," some of the older ones now that we knew back then, "Awesome God." And I already knew the chords. I knew things. And I could just look at their hands on the guitar, and I could figure out what key they were in, and I could play along. That's all I did. But God used this mission trip to change my life. He began to show me how I wasn't serving him. I wasn't on mission for him. And here, these people just starving and hungry for God's word in Central Asia. And I had that calling too, so I felt that call when I got back. So what had happened? Later that year, I had the opportunity to go back to Kazakhstan, and this time I took Kim with me. And the two of us went back, and we taught at a conference. It was a worship conference, so I was teaching about worship and music. She was teaching about puppets and drama and things like that. Then the next year, which was 1997, we went to South Africa and the Philippines on a couple more mission trips to teach. And when I got back from the Philippines, again, I felt the Lord call me to take other Americans to the mission field. And so we started leading teams from the USA. And that was what I thought my calling was just to go and take Americans abroad. So we formed Faith Life Ministries, and we had our first mission trip in 2001. And here's our mission team, kind of small. So besides myself, Kim and our son Micah was there, Diane Essel and her son Aaron, and Terry Gerardo, who was from this church. And the other two gals were from churches in Kansas City and Ohio. And we went there to teach about children's ministry, youth ministry, and adult ministry. And when I was there, the pastor, I'd done a session on church administration, which he had asked me to do. And then after that conference, he asked me if I would come back the next year and teach on that subject, church leadership and management, at his Bible school. And that's what really transformed our ministry into being mostly about church leadership and management training. All started back in the Philippines in 2001. So how many of you have been on a mission trip? Raise your hand if you've been on a mission trip. Yeah, good number of you. And I bet you the rest of you have been on a mission trip, but just not overseas. It may be in your school. You may have shared with a neighbor. You may have done something in your family. So what I want to straighten away really quick, even though I do foreign missions, that's not the only kind of mission trip there is. Missions, remember, is anywhere you go to tell others about Jesus. So that's great. So why should we all have a mission? Why should we? You know, because God tells us to. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news. He's not just talking to the disciples. He's talking to us today. But like the disciples, we have to be obedient to his call. When Kim read in Mark 16, verse 20, it said at the end of that, in verse 20, it said, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. They didn't just stay in their homes. They didn't just stay in their little huddle. They went out and started preaching the word. That hasn't changed. In 2,000 years, that's still our call to be his missionaries. So now what I want to do is I want to share three ways or three things that God does for each of us to enable us to go and tell others, to be on mission for him. Number one, God will give us a mission. God puts opportunities. I should put the scripture up here. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. So God puts opportunities in our path. We all have different people we know, families, communities. There may be people that only you can reach because I sometimes don't know who your relatives are. I don't know your coworkers, and I don't know the schools you go to. But we all have different social networks, don't we? And we can go out and speak to them. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. That's God telling us. He has a plan for us, and that plan is to be on mission for God. He has a purpose and plan. And even though we may not know more specifically what our purpose may be, we still know that we are supposed to go out and tell others about Jesus. That's what it means to be on mission for Jesus. God calls us to serve and bless others. And that's where we can use our gifts and abilities. In 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. So if you've got gifts, which you do, we all have spiritual gifts and skills, we can use those to serve others. But there's also a willingness or where we see a need. Part of the mission is being aware of what's out there, and sometimes we just have to see where there's a need. There's a story of this little girl. She was walking along the beach one day, and she saw the starfish on the sand, so she picked it up and threw it back in the ocean. Goes a little bit farther, finds another starfish, picks it up, throws it back in the ocean. And there was an old man watching this take place. And after she had done this a few times, he walked up to this little girl and said, what are you doing? She said, well, I got to save these starfish. So I'm picking them up and I'm throwing back in the ocean. The old man said, look down the beach. There's hundreds of these starfish here. You don't think you can possibly save all of them, do you? And the little girl picks up a starfish, throws it back in the ocean and says, no, but I can save that one. And that's the message for us today. We can't save everybody. We can't share the gospel with everybody, but we can share it with people we come in contact with, whether it's the guy riding next to you on a bus or on an airplane or someone you bump into at the Starbucks. There's always opportunities for us if we're aware. And so God calls us to serve and bless others, to use our gifts, and sometimes we may be the only person that can meet the need of the other person, the only person that has the opportunity or the permission to share about our life and share with them. And finally, God needs us to go for him. We are his hands and feet. We are called to be his witnesses, and we are called to fulfill his plan to redeem the world, and that is to restore mankind to its original design. Pastor Kevin's whole Lenten series about the Master Gardener was from one garden to the resurrection garden, to the resurrection garden, the New Jerusalem. We are called to share that message so that everybody can be part of that. That's the Easter message, and that's the message that we have to carry forward now from gospel to mission. We also have to remember that that God did his part already. He sent his son Jesus into the world. He put him on a cross to pay the price for our sin, and he raised him up again to new life, to sit on the throne. That's this incredible story. And so God already did his part, so now it's our turn. We have to take that message and take it out to the world and share it. And by the way, that's all we're called to do. We're not called to convert anybody. We're not necessarily all evangelists, but we can share and witness our faith. That's something we can all do. Number two, God will prepare us for our mission. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." This is about the Word. God equips us through his Word and also through his church. Those are ways that we are equipped. So God has gifted us for our mission. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." In other words, we all have a gift. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have at least one gift, probably more than that. Some of us have the gift of teaching. Some have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of help. Some have the gift of prayer, intercession, lots of different gifts. Some have the gift of healing. These are all gifts that we can use, and we're called to use to serve others. And every gift is useful. You'll be surprised. Sometimes you think, I don't have a gift I can share. But then God will put you in a position to share a gift. For me, for example, as many of you know, many of you don't know, I have a colostomy. And one time I was out in a mission field, I think it was in Guatemala, as a matter of fact, and I met a man that had a colostomy down there. And it was an opportunity to share God's love with that person about how God had healed me and some of those things. So you never know what God will use for you to share with somebody else. Secondly, God has trained us for our mission. Okay? We all have experiences. We all have different skills that we've learned. We work in different jobs. We all have a different kind of knowledge from the books we've read or the movies we've seen. And so you might not think about this, but God is training you. He's using all those things to raise you up for something, for an opportunity. As many of you may know, I wrote a book several years ago called Transformed, and it documents how I went from full-time business career to full-time ministry. And one of the big points I was trying to make in that is that through all my life, God was preparing me. God was giving me experiences, teaching things that today I use in ministry that at the time I had no idea that this was what he was doing. And I bet you he's doing the same thing with you today, that there are things going on in your life that are preparing you for something that you might have to deal with in the future, an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. So, and thirdly, God will equip us for our mission. Now, God gives us his word, he gives us his promises, and he also left us his Holy Spirit. Those are three powerful things: his word, his promise, and his Holy Spirit. And so in reality, we don't need anything else to go serve him on mission. God says he'll speak for us. He'll be with us. He won't leave us or forsake us. And I can testify to that. I was on a mission trip in the Philippines years ago, and we were visiting all these churches. And we went over 3 days visiting some of the churches where we had trained some of the pastors. So I've been to 21 churches in 3 days. And the last church, I walk in, I sit down, and they're having full-blown worship. I walk in, and the guy looks at me and says, "You're preaching in 5 minutes." So I'm scrambling to try and find something to do. But God gave me something to do. God spoke through me. And it's just amazing that he can do that. So he will equip us. He'll give us what we need if we're willing to go for him. Number three, finally, God will provide. Oops, sorry, this is number two. God will prepare us for a mission. I guess I'm still there. Oh, now I'm in the right spot. God will provide for a mission. And it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And God will do that for us. God will provide, for example, resources for our mission. I know the Guatemala team, they take clothes, shoes, glasses, children's stuff, and God provides for that. In our ministry, God provides training materials, other things that we need, food, airline tickets, all those kinds of things, all sorts of relief supplies, resource material, Bible tracts, children's ministry materials. God will provide all the resources that we need, so we don't have to worry about that. We have to ask, but God will provide. God will also provide the funds for our mission. Most people, when they take a short-term mission trip, many times they raise the funds to be able to go to cover the cost of airline tickets and hotels, food. Sometimes in our case, we help contribute for the conferences. We pay for food and resources that are needed to hold a training conference. So there's a lot of different ways that we need funds. And there's two things that he does. God provides money directly in the terms of a donation, but he also provides funds in other ways. And I'll share one example. A few years ago, I planned to go to Cambodia, and I'd already committed. Gosh, I went online and the airfare was like $500 more than it usually is. It's really expensive. So I'm praying about that, wondering what should I cancel? Should I, you know, the other option is to fly like through about five countries to get there. I just didn't want to do that because that wears you out. So I just prayed, Lord, you know, you're in control of this. So I'm just going to wait on you. Next day I go online, airfare dropped $500. That's how God works. And that's not the only time that's happened, by the way. But God does that. And that's how he provides for our mission when we're ready to go for him. Also, God will provide the people for our mission. I always take a training partner with me. Keith Stoyer's been with me a few times and others at CTS to help us teach. And so I need people. And Guatemala, they need people to go to Guatemala. So please, see the Schmids. They're leading a trip. Sign up. It's not only a great way to serve, but it really is a great way to see how God can use you in various ways. And he provides donors, people who provide financially for the missions for Guatemala or whatever else, and definitely in terms of our ministry. But he also provides people who will pray for the mission. Sometimes we don't think about that. We need to be in prayer. Whenever we go out in Jesus' name somewhere, we need people to pray for us and to encourage us and to be behind us. So these are the three ways that God can and help us. He can put opportunities in our path, he'll prepare us, and he'll provide for us. So in closing, I want to share a missions quote from a guy by the name of John Criswell. Now, John Criswell is an author, and he's a Bible scholar, and he writes commentaries. And this is what he said. He said, God's main intention in human history is to reunite himself with a world that is estranged by sin. All that he is doing in space and time is an effort to further that desire. From the first verses of Genesis to the last verses of Revelation, his intention is articulated and illustrated. The wonder of it all is that he wants to accomplish this mission through the faithfulness of people like you and me. We are missionaries. We're the ones called by God to go and share the good news. It's not for somebody else. It's for all of us. And we all have different mission fields. So the question is, again, where is your mission field? What mission field has God given to you? I know for me, God called me to the foreign mission field years ago, but I still live here. I haven't moved over there, but that's where we primarily serve. But Kim and I also serve here at CTS. We serve in local community. I teach also for Pastor Joe and the homeless guys in Atlanta. So we have a variety of ministries. But where is your mission field? Is it your family? Do you have somebody in your family that you've been trying to reach or want to reach or know you should reach, but maybe you're afraid to go talk to them? You don't want to ruin that relationship. You don't want to upset them. And those are all, you know, good reasons, but doesn't mean that we still shouldn't look for ways to share our faith with them when given the opportunity. So God may call you, maybe telling you, whispering in your ear, you know, you really need to go talk to your family member. What about your neighborhood? How about the neighbor that just moved in next door? You don't know them. They don't know you. Do they have a church home? Sometimes, you know, you might not want to venture there, or maybe you get signs that, oh, maybe they're really anti-Christian, or maybe they're of another faith. But that's an opportunity, and God will put that opportunity before you. And I really want to stress the fact, too, that God calls us to these opportunities. It's not like, if it's on your mind all the time, well, that's God prompting you. He's calling you. So some of you say, oh, go to Africa. But that's okay, because God isn't calling you. But if he is calling you, this is when we have to pay attention. What about your community? Here in Alpharetta, Johns Creek, Duluth, Cumming, wherever you live, there are opportunities. You run into people everywhere, at the Kroger, at the Starbucks, at the gym, at the movie theater. Lots of opportunities when you meet people to share the gospel. Obviously, with respect, but you run into somebody and sometimes it's just an opportunity to share about your faith. Kim and I just went to see I Can Only Imagine on Friday. And you know, everybody in there is a Christian probably, but you don't know. But it's interesting how you can talk to people, and it's very comfortable in that kind of environment. What about your workplace? This is a hard one. Today it's probably not comfortable in some places to talk about Jesus or Christianity or faith in the workplace. Doesn't mean you can't minister to people or share the gospel. One of the things I did years ago was there was someone I wanted to talk to, and so I just waited for an opportunity to talk to her while we're walking out to lunch somewhere and just have a chance to share quietly, respectfully. A lot of it is about planting seeds and looking for opportunities and people receptive to the gospel message. What about the nation in the U.S.? As I mentioned, Pastor Joe is a ministry of the homeless down in the city of Atlanta, so you can serve down there, but there's other ministries around the U.S. that you can participate in, and some of you may be doing that today. What about overseas? This is the one that gets everybody, because everybody thinks of mission trips as going overseas, but that's not the only kind of mission trip. Do you know what my first mission trip was here at CTS, interestingly enough? I went with a youth group up to Appalachia to rebuild homes. This was back in 1999, I think. And went with my daughter. She was in the middle school program. We went up to the poorest part of Appalachia, and we just rebuilt homes, and we served people. And it was a wonderful opportunity. It was a domestic mission trip. So we have those opportunities. But not everybody's called to go to the nations. But don't just say no. Wait for God's call. If you feel God's call, maybe he's saying that, hey, it's time for you. And maybe it's not now. Maybe you have young families and different situations that make it difficult. But, hey, I can tell you, with God, there's always a way. He will make a way if it's meant for you, if his call is upon you. So I'm going to share another quote. This Dan Davidson, or Dave Davidson, he has a brother named Dan. He wrote a book about missions that I have. And he's an author, and he's a motivational speaker and speaks on missions. He had this quote. If you found a cure for cancer, it is inconceivable to hide it from the rest of mankind. How much more inconceivable to keep silent the cure from the eternal wages of death? You know, as Christians, we have the cure. We have the remedy. But we live in a culture that doesn't want to hear it, do they? And that's what makes it hard. You know, as a matter of fact, when I go across the world, I have done evangelism, crusades, in other parts of the world where people have never heard this. But most people in America have heard it. And so I think here sometimes it's more difficult because we feel the resistance culturally. It may not be politically correct. Or you talk to somebody, oh, yeah, I go to this church. I go to that church. I have a church home. Doesn't mean they go to church. They just have a church. So it's a challenge for us to reach out. But we have that message that's going to solve a lot of our culture's problems, don't we? But they don't want that solution they just don't believe. So there are lots of opportunities around us for mission if we look. If we just look around, God will put them in our path. So here's what I want to remind you about. What we can do, this is what we can do. Number one, pray for God to show us the opportunities for mission. Just pray to God. Ask him to show you. And maybe you already have a mission in mind. I bet you a lot of you today already are in mission. You just don't realize it maybe. But pray for God to show us opportunities for mission. Pray whether or not you should go on the Guatemala mission trip this year with CTS. Those kinds of things. But just pray. Number two, trust that God has prepared us for our mission. You've been trained. You're here. CTS has helped train you. You read the Bible. And God has given you experiences and things that he wants you to use in the mission field. So trust God has prepared you for that mission. And thirdly, trust God to provide for our mission. In other words, the resources, whatever we need, just put our trust in him because he's going to do that. You know, for many of us, it can seem impossible for us to go overseas to Africa somewhere. But with God, there's no such thing as an impossible mission.
Jim, should you decide to accept it?
So the only question we really have to answer is, will we accept our mission? Will you say yes? We have the gifts, we have the skills, we have the provision, and as followers of Jesus, we're simply called to obey. So let us obey. Besides, after what God did for us at Calvary, how can we possibly say no? And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Let it be so. Please rise now for our closing song, Send Us Out.
Okay, friends.
Send us out in the power of Spirit to shine your light in the way we out in the power of your Spirit as we receive.